Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamson, and you are about to hear a wonderful show tonight. You know, you're tuning into Tribal Wisdom, which is all about weddings, marriage, family, and love, all things love. First, I want to say happy anniversary to a few individuals. I'd like to say happy anniversary to Deirdre Clark Rousseau and her husband. Congratulations, you two. We love you so much here over at Tribal Wisdom. And to all those who are getting married this weekend, congratulations to you. We want to wish you a very happy and healthy marriage. Tonight, I am more than pleased, more than overjoyed to be on the show with Mrs. Adrienne E. Bell. She is the founder of Wifeability and the author of Becoming an Intentional Wife. If you are not used to straight talk, you should probably just come back next week because we're about to have a whole lot of fun. And Adrienne, are you there?
I'm here, love.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad you had me muted because I bust out laughing. Like, no, she did not just say that.
I'm just, you know what, I'm just trying to prepare people because you and I have already had some chat. So I know what we're about to get into. I want to call myself a victim, but I'm not a victim. But you feel like a victim if she gets in your life. Trust me, because she is not here to play, believe me. And if you are okay with experiencing a mediocre marriage, once again, this is not the show for you. You want to come back another time.
I think that's a compliment, so I receive that.
But if you are ready for some true, you know, some real talk, some real girlfriend chat, and to really get into some things when it comes to marriage and being an intentional wife, then please stay tuned. If you're listening by internet and you want to call in, you have a question or a comment, please call 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you'd like us to bring you on the air. But don't do it just yet. Just yet. Just give me and Adrienne a little while just to chat it up, because we going in tonight, y'all. We going in. So first, you know, I've already given you a bit of an introduction, but tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, sure. First, I want to thank you for inviting me on the show. I've been wonderfully anticipating tonight's show. And, you know, I got to do a little shout-out to my boo, my homie lover friend, Donald Livingston Bell Jr. Yes, I did just say your full name on the radio. I always say that I am a submitted wife with submitted authority from my husband to do the things that I do. So I'm very grateful for a man that's secure in who he is, and that has no problem in pushing me to do the things that I do. So, love you, babe. and then, of course, my kids, they're not listening. But, you know, I got to give them a shout out. And then to my girls and Wifeability, I love you guys. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And then lastly, my girl, Felicia Houston, that's our girl. We love her so much. She's just such a blessing. She's just so wonderful, and I love her to death. I love her to life, not to death. Now, who am I? I always say the thing that I, like I said, a submitted wife with submitted authority from my husband to do the things that I do. I'm not, you know, saying, you know, wife coach, life coach, or whatever. I mean, that's good, you know, if that's your thing. I just kind of want to be the girl next door. I want to be that girlfriend that when you pick up the phone and say, girl, let me tell you what's going on, that you can tell me what's going on. You don't have to worry about it getting out to the world. You don't have to, because a lot of people, that's why they don't talk to, you know, maybe a professional or something like that, because sometimes they feel embarrassed. And even people of color, we're told, you don't go to therapists, you go to church. Right.
Right.
So,
right.
And even though to me, I think Felicia Houston actually really helped me understand how important mental health is. But anyway, I want to be that person where I tell you straight talk, nothing, and all I'm going to do is tell you what's going to help. And I'm just that, like I said, that girl next door. I'm not Dr. This, I'm not that, I'm just that chick, that girl that mm-hmm. wants to be there for mm-hmm. people, because a lot of women don't even know how to be friends. They have no mm-hmm. clue how to be another woman's friend. And mm-hmm. sometimes people think I'm fake because I'm nice, or mm-hmm. because it's like, you're a little too real. So if you're too real, then you're probably fake. And it's like, no, people have just seen, you know, counterfeits so long mm-hmm. until they really get to know you, they don't know what true love is. And I always say, I want to reflect the shimmer of God's glory. I want, when people see me, I leave his shimmer behind. You know, they, mm-hmm. they're like, mm-hmm. wow, God has been here. That's how, yes. that's what I strive for in life, that when you're on the phone with me, if you're interacting with me on Facebook, if you're interacting with me via text, email, whatever, I want you to feel God's presence. And I don't even mean that to be like super, super spiritual, but that's mm-hmm. just real, you know.
Right,
I want
right.
people to feel the love that I get to enjoy every day. So that's me. That's it. That's who
well,
I am.
I want to say that I don't know who these people are who just saying that you can't be real because you're too nice. See, I'll take the nice over the alternative personally, because you know, if you know, come on now, you know people who are really nice. If you take them to the other side, they could be, you know, it could get really crucial. So you know what? For all of those who don't want the nice and they think it's fake, that's okay. I will take your share. It is
yes.
all good. I will take your share of Adrian's niceness, okay? And
aww,
enjoy it,
sweet.
Too. But you know what? Come on, let's get into it. Let's get into it. We were talking about being an intentional wife. One thing that you said to me that really made an impact, that you said you could be intentionally evil or you could be intentionally good.
Right.
How did you get to deciding or saying that these are some categories? I mean, you've been through some things in your own life to write your book about being intentional about what you do as a wife.
Well, like you said, you know, I had a choice whether to be, because I'm really good at the evil part. Like, I didn't have to go to class for that. Nobody had to train me. You know, I didn't have to read a book on how to be evil. It just, it was innate. You know, I guess it's generational, whatever you want to call it. You know, I had that down pat really, really well. And so I needed to learn how to do, because the evil wasn't working. You know, it just wasn't working. Even though you get a temporary satisfaction from being evil, like, the temporary satisfaction lasts about 30 seconds, just like some orgasms, depending on who you're with, right?
Right.
So
right.
I said that to say that I had been intentionally evil for so long, not even, and then when I tried not to be evil, it was already a part of me, so then I had to work so hard to do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say evil, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, I didn't poison people's food or anything like that, but just evil thoughts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But evil thoughts, you know, devising evil plans, you know, how to get back, you know, retaliation was my specialty. Okay. And so I was like, okay, this isn't working for me. And I mean, I had no creativity. I had no innovation. I had friends, but they had to like wade through all the garbage to get to who I really was.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to be that way anymore. I didn't want to be that person where, well, you know, once you get to know her, no, I don't want to be that way anymore. I want it to be a thing when people look at me, just look at me, they're like, man, there's something different about her. I like her. I don't even know why I like her. And a friend of mine said recently, she said, and even those that don't like you, they really do like you, but they just don't want you to know that they like
right.
you.
But right.
I've seen so much evil, and I just didn't want to be that way anymore. And mm-hmm. and not just in marriage, but just in life in general, period. You know,
mm-hmm.
I used to be a fighter, and those who knew me growing up, you know, I was that chick. If somebody was messing with Cynthia could pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, Adrian, something's happening. You know, they told me they're going to beat me up after school. They knew to call me because I was going to get it done. Right.
You came skipping with the bat. You had the bat.
Yeah, I didn't need no bats. I didn't need no bats. I just got it done, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I said that to say that God had to teach me how there's nothing wrong with being a fighter, but fight for the right thing. And I was fighting for the wrong thing. When ultimately I wanted love, ultimately I wanted affection, ultimately I wanted all that God had for me, but I thought I had to go about it in a manipulative, evil way to get what I really wanted. You see what I'm saying? And so I realized that I don't have to manipulate my husband to get him to love me. I don't have to, you know, say things just to see what he's going to do. You know, I was queen of, you know, well, I'm going to just say this just because I know he's going to say something else. Okay, that's manipulation. That's a form of witchcraft.
Right.
When you set a person up knowing that they're going to lie about something, that's a form of manipulation and witchcraft. And that, and I don't want to tell anybody, you know, I don't tell people, hey, I was a witch, but if you operate in witchcraft, I mean, what else would you be? And
right.
that's really what I operated in, because I used intimidation and manipulation and all of those things to get what I wanted. And while, again, it was temporary satisfaction, I had no peace. I had no joy, you know. And so I realized that I can't really be innovative and creative and evil at the same time. So even in my marriage relationships, business relationships, I had to change who I was intentionally, on purpose. I had to do it just moment by moment, day by day. It's not an overnight thing, but it is a decision, and I made a decision.
Nice. Now, I want to just stop and say that if you're just joining us, you are listening to Adrienne Bell. She's the author of The Intentional Wife, and she is putting down some knowledge today. Now, I do not have the chat room open, but if you are on Facebook and you want to join us in the event and put up some comments, ask some questions, please, you know, join us in the event. I'm happy to relay to her what you're saying, and or you can just message me, either one. but let's get back to it. So you embarked on this journey where you decided to be intentional about the changes you were making in your life as well as in your marriage.
Correct.
What were the top things in your marriage that you were intentional about changing?
First of all, my mouth. Just straight up, my mouth. It's a weapon, and it's a weapon, and it's my best asset as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I was, again, I specialized in tearing my husband down when I felt like he wasn't giving me the attention that I wanted or the things that I wanted. Not things like I'm materialistic, but things as in, you know, I wanted attention, I wanted his time, I wanted, you know, whatever I wanted at the time, but then, you know, he would have to, you know, make an appointment to be with me. You know what I mean? So and my mouth was just so out of control, and I would say so many horrible things to him. And at the time it wasn't horrible, but at the time it was ammunition. And because I felt like he was trying to hurt me on purpose, so I felt like the only way I could get back at him, I mean, and people that know my husband knows that I can't beat him up, okay? I can't fight him. So the only ammunition I had was my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and so I had to change my mouth, and not just what I said, but how I said it. Because I can tell you, well, I love you. You know I love you. I mean, I don't really believe you because your tone is all jacked up, right? But if I say, you know what, I just want to let you know that I love you and I appreciate you or whatever the case may be, I said the same thing a different way. And so I had to learn how to do that, literally, conversation by conversation, sentence by sentence, because I didn't know how to talk to him. You know, I had lost respect for him over the years, not because he had done anything major, you know, anything that was a deal breaker or anything like that. I just lost respect because I had lost respect for myself in a lot of ways. You know, I didn't meet a lot of the goals that I had that I wanted to meet as a woman. Had nothing to do with being a wife, nothing to do with being a mom, just me as a person and the things that I thought was God's plan for my life. And God was like, that's not my plan. That's why it didn't work. I was like, oh, okay, no problem. But my mouth was out of control. Number two, I would say my attitude. And mouth and attitude are two different things, because then I graduated from talking crazy to just being quiet with attitude. Right. So even though I wasn't saying anything, my mouth, my attitude, my, you know, closed up and locked up in my room, or being gone all day and he not knowing where I am, or, you know, when I do walk into a room, I don't speak to him or acknowledge his presence. Even though I wasn't saying anything evil, I was still being evil. So I had to graduate and watch even my attitude, even how I handled him. I was handling my clients better than I was handling my husband, the person that I said that is my best friend and that I love and I'm in love with, and I treated him the way that I treated him. Okay, mm-hmm. And so my mouth, my attitude, and then I would have to say the third thing I had to change was my prayer life. I would only talk to God about what he wasn't doing, what my husband wasn't doing. Never, ever asked him, well, Lord, show me what I'm doing. No, I was like, you know, and my prayers were strictly about what he wasn't doing. And so one day, God had to show me, so he literally, I should say proverbially, pulled up a mirror in front of my face in worship. I'm like, oh, God, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you. So you love me? Okay, let me show you how you look. And that really changed my life, because I was, everything that I accused my husband of doing, everything, I was guilty of doing that same thing to God. The exact same thing. Neglect, you know, inconsistent, all of this stuff that I would blame him for. God was like, really? Who are you when you do the same thing?
Right.
So my intentionality came from not just wanting to be a better wife, but I want to be a better worshiper. I want to be a better lover of God, because I really sucked at it really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a better life. You know, I didn't deserve the label Christian. I didn't deserve that label because I was a hypocrite, you know. And so I had to change those three things, my mouth, my attitude, and my prayer life.
Now, We know that we are tripart beings. We are mental, physical, and spiritual. And your book speaks to each part of that wife, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, because being intentionally evil affects these parts. When it comes to, I think we talked about intimacy. You just talked about your prayer life and your worship life. And then the manipulation, the mental manipulation of not acknowledging, the disrespect, and all of those different things. So, at some point, we're going to get into the whole intimacy and physical part of how being intentionally evil affects your marriage. Let's just go for it. You just really kind of covered spiritual and mental just right quick before I even had a chance to ask. But
I hope that's a good thing.
It is. No, it's good, because like I said, we're just kind of going in tonight and having this real conversation about putting the mirror up to our faces and taking a look at ourselves and what we contribute to either a good marriage or a not so good marriage, a marriage that's not working, and a marriage that could be working better. So
yes.
Let's go for being an intentionally good wife, and let's touch on the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. Where is it? I mean, from you're talking from life experience here.
Yes.
Because, and you know what? Tell us how long you've been married again.
Donald and I have been married for 13 years, and we've been together for 15. I've known him. I am 35 years old, and I've been with him since I was 19. So I've been married to him a long time, even though that's not a long time, but for a young woman, that's a long time, because I am still young, just so y'all know. but yeah, we've been married 13 years.
All right. So from your life experience, being a married woman, being a woman changed by God, let's get into intimacy and how being an intentionally good wife affects your intimate life. Not yours per se, but I'm saying, you know, let's talk to the ladies about this, you know, because I think you and I, we were trying to even just to define intimacy. What is intimacy? Because a lot of people don't know what that is. They see it as strictly as, you know, being sex or physical sex, but intimacy is so much more. It's about connection. So why don't we start with connection with spouses and take it from there?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I talked earlier about wifeability, and we have, it's about 400 of us, 400 wives or so in our group, where we just talked about intimacy. Actually, September was the month for intimacy. Mm-hmm. And because I in being in this industry now, as far as I should say love, sex, relationships, industry, you got to know all aspects. and I wanted to know all aspects from a grassroots perspective. I didn't necessarily want to know it from a clinical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to know what people thought about intimacy. And the first thing that we learned with intimacy, we went through this project called thesexperiment.com. Where the pastor and his wife talked about, Dr. Ed Young talked about intimacy, and they had 7 days of sex. And,
mm-hmm.
And you know, the husbands were like, woo, woo, you know, and the wives were like, oh, God, are you serious? You know, like, okay, here we go. But, you know, that intimacy project, it actually changed, it saved my marriage, actually. And this might shock you, but even in the past month, I was even contemplating, oh my God, am I supposed to be married? Like the enemy attacked me so quickly to mm-hmm. kind of to steal what God had put in my heart about marriage and about my marriage specifically. And this intimacy project saved my marriage because it changed my thought process, and everything that I thought that my husband thought about me was a complete lie. Complete mm-hmm. lie. And so the first day of the intimacy project was really about vulnerability. And for me, I think not just for me, but I think society as a whole, we don't really, you know, and vulnerability is looked at as weakness and, you know, whatever the case may be. So I had never been taught to be vulnerable. You know, mm-hmm. I'm taught to be strong and, you know, you just be strong and you just, you know, be strong. It's like, okay, I'm going to be strong. So then when it's time to be the weaker vessel, you don't know how to do that. And mm-hmm. I didn't know how to be the weaker vessel. I knew how to be an intentional wife and do the duties, do what I needed to do to get to a desired result, even mm-hmm. emotionally, but I still was missing that intimacy part. And mm-hmm. the vulnerability of it, the connection didn't come until I became vulnerable. So, and not just me, but the two of us, we were afraid to be vulnerable with each other. And so what we learned during this intimacy project was really understanding each other's heart. We knew we loved each other. A lot of people don't get divorced because they don't love each other. A lot of people I know get divorced not because they don't love each other. They just don't like each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
my husband and I had to get to a point where we're like, okay, do we like actually like each other? And so during that week, we were able to explore new areas of each other that we had never even discussed. Like I said, everything that I thought intimacy was, which is not the sex, is the icing on the cake. That's the expression of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
right.
Okay, this is what I get to do with what I feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then
mm-hmm.
I think you and I were talking that you and I were being intimate when we were having a conversation. We were connecting. I was all
yes.
in your business, and you
mm-hmm.
were.
Just ripping it all apart and putting it in my face. And
Right. So we were being intimate. So intimacy is being connected, being vulnerable. You didn't know me, but you felt safe enough to
mm-hmm.
like, you know what, I think I can tell her this. And that's the thing about intimacy. Do I feel safe enough to,
mm-hmm.
to share what I don't want you to throw in my face later on?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing that we got to get to a point in our relationships, not just in our romantic relationships and our marriages, but just in how we deal with each other. I've never met Felicia Houston ever, but we have a connectedness. I don't even have to talk to her, but we're connected. So
mm-hmm.
it's like when you get to that point when the Bible talks about having like precious faith that understands the same things that you understand, and you have the same thought process, and even if we don't agree, we don't fall out about it because we don't
mm-hmm.
agree,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's the part, that's what we learned during that week, was that it helped us go to another level.
I really like the point that you're bringing up right now, and it is so important for all of us to understand that a large part of intimacy is being able to feel safe in that space with the person you're with.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know, the friendship, whether it's your husband, whether, you know, it's just a family member, whatever it is, I think that part of the understanding of being able to create a safe space between you and whoever it is that you are being vulnerable with is
mm-hmm.
key, is so key, and I'm so glad that you made that point.
Yeah. It's really that's safety, and that's where I was. I wasn't safe with my husband that I brag about, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm all on Facebook like, oh, he my boo, and I mean that, but
right.
I didn't. But when I went in my closet, I was like, wait a minute, am I vulnerable? Am I safe? Do we have intimacy? So we had to like really go there in our relationship, and the first day was so hard because I don't like to cry unless uh-huh. I'm in worship. I don't want to be crying, right? And so I was able to be vulnerable, and he didn't hold it against me. He held me. He made it safe for me to be vulnerable. So now if I cry, I'm good because I know he's going to handle my heart properly, and I'm going to handle his heart properly because he would cry in front of me, and I would be like, what you crying for? What's wrong with you? You know, just real ugly, you know.
Wow.
So I'd never – so then he had created this wall where he was like, you'll come here, but don't cross this line. You can't mm-hmm. cross this line. And we had both built a wall. Now, we're talking like 2 weeks ago. We're not talking about like 5 years. This was like a couple of weeks ago. So this whole intimacy thing is huge. And the core of it all is getting back to basics, getting back, falling in love with God to the point where no matter who's around, I still feel like somebody's in the room. No matter who's around, if it's just me in the room and I still don't feel alone, to me that's intimacy with God. When if I, you know, I'll even burp and say, oh, excuse me, ain't nobody in the room but me. But mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, excuse me, because that's how much I value His presence, right? So that's where once I got reconnected with God, because the sex experiment was not just about sex and not just about intimacy with your husband but or your mate, but intimacy with God first. And you, if you're not intimate with God, you're not even going to have a clue what to do with your spouse. It's not going to happen. And so we had to get back to basics.
Okay. You wrote the book, The Intentional Wife. Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the chapters that are in the book, you know, without giving everything away. Like, what are some of the chapter titles that you get into?
Well, one of the things I talk about is being intentional about health. And the only reason why I'm going there first is because so many of us as wives specifically, we have a lot of health challenges. And for whatever reason, you know, we have our cycles every month, you know, mm-hmm. it's always something happening in our bodies, which wreaks havoc on, you know, our sex life. It wreaks havoc on even being intimate. You know, you just don't feel like being bothered. Don't talk to me. I won't talk to you. All will be well. Right. And so that's one of the main things that I talk about. And being intentional about your health is not just so you can about being thin. That, you know, people, when people think health, they think thin. And it's about being healthy, because everybody that's healthy or everyone that's thin is not necessarily healthy.
True.
So it's really just getting back to, I can't give my husband what I don't have. If I'm tired, I can't finish the laundry, I can't, you know, do anything for the kids because I'm so tired, then I'm like, wait a minute, what am I spending my energy on, or what's happening in my body that's causing me or preventing me from being intentional? Because some husbands complain about their wives not wanting to clean. She don't want to cook. She don't want to clean. She's always tired. She don't want to have sex. And so a lot of the wives, we just don't take care of ourselves, all in the name of taking care of our families. And that's not, we can't give our families what we don't have. We can't give our husbands what we don't have. So, you know, getting your mammograms, please, ladies, get your mammograms, get your pap smears, get what you need, get the vitamins. I had to get on B12 because I was always tired, always mm-hmm. tired. So I started taking B12. I started taking D3 for my heart. I started taking fish oil for my heart and other, you know, brain function and things like that. As we get older, we have to take better care of ourselves. And so a lot of people feel like being married, you know, you could just let it go. Like, girl, you know, I'm married now, I'm good. But it's like, no. And it's not even about being, again, it's not about being thin. It's about mm-hmm. being healthy. You don't want to be married and you can't enjoy your spouse, or he
right.
can't enjoy you because he's, you know, on 50 different medications, and you know, one day he can get it up, the next day he can't. Don't
mm-hmm.
nobody want to go through all of that. So
mm-hmm.
if we do what we need to do now or catch our issues early, then mm-hmm. the doctors can help us. And God, coupled with prayer, we can be healed just by being intentional about it. So that's where I come from the healthy perspective. The first chapter, I'm talking about prayer, which is what we talked about earlier, you know, just talking about how my prayer life was so jacked up, you know, all I did was talk about what my husband did. And literally, I didn't pray about bills. I didn't pray about, you know, Lord, I want to go to another level. No, it was what he wasn't doing. That's it. That was my prayer. Okay, mm-hmm. Lord, thank you, and get up. Never stayed to listen to God's response. Mm. And so we had to learn when we're praying, if you and I are having a conversation and you're talking, and then you say, all right, Adrian, it was great talking to you, and I never got to get a word in edgewise, you're like, wow. I'm like, wow, that was not a conversation. She talked to me and then she hung up. That's what we do to God, is that we get on our knees and we give him our list of things that he needs to do for us, and if he does this, then we'll do this. You know, we negotiate with him when we have no negotiating power, and we tell him what he needs to do, and then if he does it, then we'll do what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was. My prayer life was jacked up. I don't even call it a prayer. I mean, it was just talking, because God was looking at me like, really? That's what you have to say to me? And so I encourage you, I'm encouraging the women, the wives in the book, to stop beating a dead horse. Once you pray to God about something specific with your husband, and it's all in how you do it. Just like when you talk to your husband, you can't just say whatever you want. It's the same thing with God. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, but don't come boldly with no nonsense. Don't come boldly with some stuff that you know is not his will. But that's what some of us do, because we have a strong desire. We think, well, you know, this must be the Lord's will. No, ma'am, that's not his will. You know, and so that's what, you know, I get into about prayer, is that, you know, you can't be intentional without prayer. It's hard being intentional at first, because if you're used to being evil, it's a process. And so I tell people, be patient with yourself. You know, that, you know, you might not say something smart the first time, but he may say something in response and you say, you know what, I'm not even going to say anything. That's a triumph. Celebrate that. You know, or when you would normally cuss him out and you just left the room, congratulate yourself, right? So that's, you know, people, we are so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are so hard on ourselves. And
it's
so
true.
Oh my God. And it's like, I help women to lighten up. Just take a break, take a load off, you know, and, you know, take some time away. I was sharing with the wife that, you know, my husband always sends me on a trip every quarter, even if it's just 20 minutes up the street. I get to step away from being a wife, step away from being a mom. I don't have any duties. He sends me away. Even if I'm reading, I'm writing, whatever, I get to do what I want once a quarter, and he does the same. And what it does is it comes back, you come back together rejuvenated and with new ideas and fresh ideas. You know, I talk about that in the book, that you have to take some time for yourself, because you will burn out. Being intentional, you can burn out. Mm-hmm. Because you're looking like, oh my God, I mean, I'm doing everything. I mean, I'm not being smart. I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm doing whatever. And it's like he's not changing. And that can get real old after a while, right? So that's why your motives for being intentional are so important, because if you're being intentional to change your husband, you are wasting your time. I did not become intentional. I'm serious. I did not become intentional because I was like, okay, well, if I do this, I knew he's going to change. No, I became intentional because I was going to cut somebody, and I needed to change. I'm just being real. And there's some women out there disagreeing with me that I needed to change for me. And I was trying to fight evil with evil. And the Bible tells us to overcome evil with good. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't doing that. So I had zero results. And so when I started being more loving and more genuine and more and sweet and kind, genuinely, not because I wanted something, but just because it's just the right thing to do, God began to bless me in ways and open up doors that I thought they were going to come from my husband. But, I mean, people have just been a complete blessing, because even though God uses my husband to bless me, he also uses others to bless me. And because of my focus on being intentional, not to change my husband, but because I wanted a better life for me. Because if my husband died tomorrow, I still got to be intentional in this life. I still
got to
have intentional. Yeah. So I don't want to be at the funeral and they're like, okay, well, here's his evil wife. Maybe she wants to say something. I don't want to, you know. Because that's when you find out about people, a lot about people is when they die. That's a lot of times when you find out what's going on in a person's life when they die. You're like, whoa, I did not know that about him. You know, wow. You know, so I want to live, my mom calls it living the dash. I want to live the dash to the point where when I close my eyes, I'm not only just an intentional wife, I want to be an intentional woman. I want to be a woman that has changed lives. So the wife part was just my platform, because that's being married is who I am. Being married is my status. It's not who I am. Right. So that just happened to be the platform that God used for me to talk about being intentional, but it wasn't about me wanting to change my husband, because that was the last thing that I needed to do. It wasn't going to work, because my husband's like, no, I'll change when I want to.
Right.
So, you know, and that's what I try to encourage wives. Don't get this book because you're like, ooh, girl, this is it. This is the one. My marriage is going to be perfect now. No, ma'am. You will hang. I wrote the book, and I have to go back and read it, because I'm like, wow, really? So that's just a few things that I talk about in the book.
Great. Now, what you are really trying to create within this safe space, in your group, in your book, mm-hmm. is what you have deemed the intentional lifestyle.
Yes.
Let's go into the intentional lifestyle. And I know, you know, I love that you say that you and Donald are waging war against divorce. This is serious for you. This is something where you're stepping in and you're checking people. You know what I mean? Because look, I don't know about the rest of you. Adrian does not come across like you know, like a Pollyanna kind of girl, or you know, very sweet and meek and saying, look, let's just go over here and have a talk. I always feel like she just yanked me by my collar, you know, when we talk. And I'm like, what do I do now? What?
That is not true, Cynthia.
I'm just saying, no. When you tell someone that you are waging war against something, because, you know, divorce in our families is the enemy. It's truly the enemy here, because we're breaking up families. There are families that are hemorrhaging and falling apart and taking more time to heal than it is to actually live and live abundantly. So the fact that you're coming right out and say, look, we are waging war against this thing. This has to stop. And we really have to address this lifestyle about being intentional. You know, bring us in, pull us into that. Pull us into what the intentional lifestyle is really about.
Well, the first thing for me is I only yank those that need yanking, okay? So let me be clear on that.
I was about to say, this is kind of still, you know? Because, you know,
I'm yanking by the proverbial collar because, God, he knows the people who reach out to me, they know that they're going to get straight talk, because most of them have been watching me on Facebook and know that I'm pretty straightforward. And, you know, there's enough playing around. You know, there's enough people with the foo-foo stuff. Hey, you do that. Hey, God loves you. Yes, he does. But if you don't obey, you're going to hell. That's it. You know, I'm not trying to be funny. But
I just want to say that. So you are the girlfriend. It's like you say, you are the girlfriend that we go to talk to, you know, to put our business right in our faces. We, you know, we're not going to any yes man. Adrian is not the yes woman. Trust.
No. Because I would be doing you a disservice. I would be doing you a disservice. And I love how Ayanna Van Zandt says, I would be fixing a lie. You know, I would be, you come to me and you say, this is what's going on, and you only tell me bits and pieces, you know, and even in our private space, when people come on and they say, oh my God, I'm going through this particular thing with my husband, you know, and all of our, I love the wives of Wifeability, because they're so supportive of each other. They're like, oh girl, I'm praying for you. And I'd be like, wait a minute, let's get all the facts first before we start praying, because we'll be praying for some stuff that ain't right. You see what I'm saying? We'll be praying for some stuff that's not the will of God. So it's not about, so being this intentional journey is about, again, when I live the dash, when people are looking at my obituary, mm-hmm. and they're celebrating my life, I want it to be a thing where there's been not a moment wasted, there's not been a time wasted. You know, this marriage life, I mean, it's going to go quick. Whether if I go first or my husband goes first, when we're looking in that casket at who we loved, and you think back how many times you were angry with that person, how many times the hours or days you went not speaking. You know what I mean? Like, all of that goes out of the window at that point, or if mm-hmm. that person is on their deathbed. So it's like, we don't have time. We don't mm-hmm. have time to live a lackadaisical, you know, punking out type of life. We don't have that kind of time. People are dying all around us. And so, you know, God is an intentional God. He's
yes.
very methodical about the way he does business. He's very methodical about the way he handles us. And even though he's a God of mercy and a God of love, he's very intentional even in when he blesses us. It always hits bull's eye when he blesses us, right? So mm-hmm. we got to be just as serious about his business and about this life as when people say, I'm about that life, I'm about this life, I'm about that kingdom life, I'm about doing the will of God. And the will of God is not, you know, going around, you know, punching people in the stomach and making them fall out and all that. I mean, that's good. Do you, if that's what you do. But my thing is, let's get to a point where we deal with the heart of man and get to the bottom of what's going on with their issues. And most of the time, people don't feel loved. That's it. So mm-hmm. if we could just get people to the point where they love God, to me, that's the intentional journey. When a person has gotten to the point and they come and they see you, do they feel loved? Do they feel valued? Do they feel wanted? That's why people have what they call serial monogamous, you know, mm-hmm. the serial monogamy, or the person that marries, you know, every couple of years or whatever, you know, divorced and married every couple of years, because they're looking for something. But, you know, the intentional journey is about, first of all, understanding an intentional God and how he does business, and that he loves us, but he don't play around with us. Yes, mm-hmm. he's merciful, but we take advantage of his grace way too much. And I'm like, Lord, I don't need you to give me no disease. I don't need you to kill none of my kids. I don't need you mm-hmm. to give my husband no disease. I'm mm-hmm. going to do whatever you want me to do. And
right.
that's why I have to proverbially yoke people up, because mm-hmm. if I'm saying something as adamant as I'm waging war, I can't be no punk talking about I'm waging war.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because
if I want, I want somebody like me on my side,
right.
you know, that can
right.
stand against evil and stand for what's good. That's what Peter or Paul was talking about when he talked about contending for the faith. We all supposed to be waging war against evil, not just Adrian and Donald, but
mm-hmm.
we all should be waging war in our own way, in our own mm-hmm. platform. Whatever platform God gave you, you should be waging war in that particular area. So
mm-hmm.
that's what this intentional journey is about, is serving an intentional God, getting his instructions. He's the chief commander. We're
mm-hmm.
his soldiers, and we're supposed to be doing his work. That's
mm-hmm.
what this is about. And you can't do the work, the will of God, if you all, you know, crying and you just like, oh my God, my life is just so horrible. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
No. You're going to get assassinated by the enemy, literally. He's going to, like, annihilate you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
you got to take control, put your boots on, keep your armor on, and fight for what's good. And fighting doesn't mean going around saying, yeah, I'm waging war. Waging war means doing what's good. That's all
right.
that means. I'm
right.
doing the opposite of what my evil nature tells me to do. That's
mm-hmm.
all that means. My evil nature tells me to do something evil. So when I do something not evil, I've waged war. That's it. It's nothing else.
You know what? That makes me want to backtrack a little bit, because we talked about the intentional wife. We talked about being intentionally happy and checking certain things. Let's kind of touch on a little bit about intentionally knowing yourself, first of all, because I think that's a big problem is a lack of self-love, because, you know, we're supposed
yes.
to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I think people are so busy looking at that first part of the scripture that they really kind of glaze over that second part and forget that you really have to take a look at how you love yourself and how well you know yourself in order to switch into being an intentional person living an intentional life. So let's touch on, you know, the importance of really knowing yourself in order to live an intentional life and be an intentional wife.
Well, here's the thing about knowing it. I'm very careful about using the word self-love, because a lot of times people, you know, culture, society has created, like, that's a religion. Self-love is a religion. So mm-hmm. I'm very careful about using that word. But I know what you mean. But mm-hmm. just to clarify mm-hmm. it for those of you, like, see, that's what I'm talking about, self-love. No, wait a minute. No, self-love, that's not what she's talking about, those of you who are trying to pick, because that's what people do. They'll take a snapshot of what mm-hmm. was said and say, see, I knew that was right. No, mm-hmm. self-love is not about, you know, all about selfishness, but it's knowing right. who you are, but it's knowing who you are in God. I thought I knew who I was, but I didn't know what God had to say about me. Yes, I heard people say, you're more than a conqueror. Yes, I know the word says, you know, I'm more than a conqueror. You know, I can do all things through Christ, you know, whatever. But I didn't know that. Does that make sense? Like, I had no mm-hmm. sense of, I had to go through something to realize, man, I really am more than a conqueror. Wow. You know, you look back like, wow, I can't even believe I went through that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
knowing who you are, you have to know what your place is in God. And find, being a wife, another thing about being intentional, it's in the book, I didn't have a life. Everything was, my life was completely wrapped around my husband. Every single aspect of my life was wrapped around him.
Mm-hmm.
So if he didn't treat me a certain way, he didn't think a certain way, I don't understand, you know. So I went from extreme craziness to crying to extreme, you know, just madness. So my life was completely wrapped around him, because even though my parents did an excellent job, shout out to my mommy, love you, mommy. Shout out to my sister and brother and my sister-in-laws and all y'all, love y'all. Anyway, even though we grew up in a great environment, you know, and I saw my parents, you know, have a good marriage and everything, but and they did a great job of telling me who I am. You can do anything, whatever. But Adrian didn't know that. And so so once I knew that, and when I said I didn't have an awareness, that's the word I'm looking for, awareness. You mm-hmm. you do things because people tell you, but it has to be a thing where, do you still believe that if nobody ever says it again? If nobody ever validated you, would you still be okay with you?
Right.
And I could not answer that question. There was a point that I could not answer that, that I only felt validated when other people validated me. Now I could care less. You know, the only thing that I don't want to happen, I don't want to offend anybody. So as long as I'm not offensive, I don't really, you know, say whatever you want. I don't read the critics, because I have critics already. Wow, I'm like, wow, I have critics. Can I have a check that go along with the criticisms? But anyway, so I had to learn who I was for me, and it helped me be more intentional to live more of a life where if nobody validated me, I'm still okay. I know who I am. I'm okay with me if nobody talks to me, if nobody calls my phone, nobody texts me. You know, some people start drama. Some people need attention whether it's good or bad. They don't care if it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was that person that even if people didn't like me, oh, she's a hater, you know, that was my favorite word, she's a hater. Come on, knock it off, you know? Nobody hates you that much. You know, you're not, no, stop it. So That's really what it was, Cynthia, is getting to a place of knowing God and who he is, and then wrapping myself up in his love, and then telling people about him, like, hey, this God, he's all right. That's mm-hmm. what I do. That's what I love to do. That's what this journey is all about. And if your journey is about anything other than that, then you're not about this life.
And you might want to look into, I mean, because you are helping people step into recognizing what it means to be intentional to you, you know, for you, and how you went about pushing things in that direction. The wives that you are coaching, that you are with, are you seeing the changes? Are they making the changes? Is this war that's being waged, you know, on the winning streak?
You know, I love how you said that. I wake up every day and I go to the Facebook group, and I look at the testimonies about how, and some of the wives who started, we started this group back in May, and I didn't start it because of the book. I started it because I was trying to be an intentional wife, and I was doing reading a book called The Husband Project, and it was a 21-day project where, you know, you do wonderful, encouraging things for your husband. So I was like, oh, this sounds fun. So I just wanted to get some married ladies together just to do it with me because I didn't want to be the only chump doing something for their husband. Okay. So my girlfriends was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. So we did it, and then so it kind of grew from there. My purpose was one thing, and God turned it into something else. And so some of those ladies that I started out with in day one, the way that they talk about their husbands now, I feel like I'm talking to a totally new woman, because what it does, it creates accountability to a place where it's like, okay, because she's going to call me out if I don't allow you to get on there bashing your husband. Oh, he did this. No, wait a minute. We're not going to do that. You know, you can say how you feel, but it's all in how you say it. And right. So to answer your question, yes. I mean, it's even for me, it's just been amazing to watch my husband change right before my eyes, Like, and I'll tell him, man, you have changed so much. I mean, in a good way. And so even when I got when the enemy attacked me a couple of weeks ago about leaving him, I was thinking, wait a minute, maybe he needs somebody better than me. I think he needs somebody more his speed, you know, because I'm more, you know, let's get it, let's go. I'm that renegade. And he's like, wait a minute, we're going to take a calculated risk. We're not going to do that.
You know? Right. Mm-hmm.
But you kind of need somebody to balance you. And so I'm thankful that this group was able to even harness my how can I say this? Harness my desire to want to go too doggone fast. I just want to do too much too quickly. And so my husband helped stabilize me. And so, you know, the enemy was kind of like, wait a minute. Well, you don't want to do that. You want to do this. You know, let him go and do that. And that's what happens. In this intentional journey, the enemy will give you every reason not to be intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, just let whatever happens. You know, it doesn't matter. Don't talk to him today. Don't speak. Let's just see what he's going to do. Just cycles of failure in marriage. Just those cycles where you go up, you know, you have the good days and you go and you have all the bad days. And then you're back, all that up and down. And I didn't want that. I wanted something a little bit more the same all the time. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So I needed to make that change, and I'm glad that I did with those beautiful ladies, and it's been amazing to see their journey right before my eyes. They inbox me. A lot of them are still kind of shy, so they inbox me and say, oh my God, you know, my husband did this, but I'm so proud of myself, I did this. You know, we're little girls, we're women, but we're still little girls in a lot of ways.
Right.
And how we connected with our fathers, whether we connected with them or did not have the opportunity to connect with them, really did create how we deal with our husbands and the opposite sex as a whole. And so we need that encouragement. Like, am I doing a good job? Is this okay? Did I do okay? And that's what this group does. And it's not just for married women. I also have, shout out to my ladies of integrity. I don't want to forget y'all. Those are the single ladies that I don't like to use the word single. Unmarried ladies that I don't like the word single. I just don't. I mean, it's not in the Bible. I don't even know why we say it.
This is new information for me, so I know we're gonna have this conversation at some point. But I'm just laughing because I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I might have to change my words now, because I always say I'm single, but now I have to say no, I'm just unmarried.
Yeah, unmarried. Yeah, because single to me just these days has such a negative connotation, and I don't like that. You know, I'm unmarried, but I'm focused. You know, I don't have a husband. I'm unattached. But the reason why I say unmarried is because a lot of women who are single, quote unquote, don't realize they're single because they got a boo. You know, I've been with my boo for 20 years, but ma'am, if you don't have a ring, you're still single. You know, you're still unmarried. And not if you have if you've been engaged for 25 years, you're still unmarried. So why I say unmarried. So that includes those who are common law and all that. So.
Well, let me stop you right there and just let you know that we have already been on the air for 55 minutes, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. The hour goes so quickly when we're having like these wonderful chats and really kind of getting into it. And for those of you, sometimes we end up going over a little bit. Sometimes we do. Most likely with Adrienne, I'm not sure. We're gonna see because you know she's doing all right so far. She's still a little tame for me right now because I know more. I know it's a little bit different, but you know I'm cool with it. But
I want your listeners to come back next week. Like, honey, I don't know who Cynthia had on there this week, honey. That was a mess. Because you know how we do.
It's true. But for those of you who are listening on the internet and you don't want to miss any part of the conversation, you probably want to call in now just in case we go over, because on via internet it will cut you off at the hour precisely. But if you're on the phone, you will be able to continue listening to the conversation. So if you choose to, you can give us a call, 347-996-3160, and we hope you do, because we don't want you to miss any parts of this conversation. So let's get back in. What else did we talk about? I mean, because we really did kind of cover everything that you and I really went into when it came to, you know, fighting for your marriage, and you were asking the question, are you spoiled? Are you selfish? Are you ignorant of what it means to be a wife? And that was being intentionally evil. And then we talked about the intentionally good that you just went over. We just kind of touched on loving yourself, you know, being in line and in purpose with what God made you for.
Right.
I'm not sure now. Was that us who talked about being able to communicate? Hold on, I'd like to take notes when you and I talk, because I need to, you know, remember where where I got hemmed up and where I did okay, you know. So, you know what? Let's tell people where we can find you first of all. Let's go there.
Okay, well, my website is www.wifeability.com. Right now, the website is we're just solely promoting the book, but we are going to be expanding the website in 2014, where it's going to be more of a hub for wives, not just for wives, but for couples. My husband, he will be launching his book in 2014, so I'm really excited about that. So y'all get ready for the straight talk for the men. I don't know if they're ready yet, you know.
I'm excited.
I can't wait either. So this is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Twitter, wifeability, or you can follow me at Adrienne E. Bell on Twitter as well. And then if you're a wife and you'd like to be a part of our wonderful, wonderful group of married women, just inbox me on Facebook, and I'll be glad to add you to the group. It's a private group. Nobody can see. So if you're talking about your husband, honey, it's all right. He ain't going to see it. So now what happens after that, that's on you.
But
and it's not even like that. It's just a place where you can be vulnerable. That's like my word now. I thought it was intentional, but now it's vulnerable, because being intentional, you have to be vulnerable.
Come on, yeah. That's the next being vulnerable, don't give it away.
You know, I think Brené Brown has that vulnerability thing on lockdown, because she really really goes into talking about vulnerability and just how so important it is to be. I did not realize how important vulnerability is to be creative. And right. So when you're a creative person, if you're not vulnerable, nothing can come in and nothing can go out.
Right.
And so that's what was happening in my marriage. Nothing was coming in, nothing was going out. And mm-hmm. So now when people feel, I love when people say, oh my God, I love the relationship that you and your husband have. And even when people used to say that when we didn't have all that great of a relationship, I'd be mm-hmm. like, are y'all looking at the same thing I'm looking at? This is a mess what I'm looking at, you know. And so
that should give you an idea about what other people are kind of going through. And just when you think that you are in a mess, you know, somebody else's situation might be a lot worse than yours, and they're trying to attain what you have, and you're still trying to attain better than what you have. So, you know, we should never discount, you know, what's going on with ourselves, because we're still striving to be better and, as you said, to be more intentional, and someone is looking at what you have now and wishing and wanting for that.
Yeah. And now I'm like, okay, let's do it. Let's mm-hmm. get to that point. And not saying that Donald and I have arrived in any way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. but we are both intentional. Yes, we are both intentional, and we both put in the work that it needs. Because it's work. And nobody mm-hmm. thinks that. It's not to go half on the rent, single, unmarried lady. It's not to find somebody, you know, like, girl, I'm tired of being by myself, honey. I need somebody to help me pay these bills. I need somebody to take Junior to practice. No, ma'am. That is not why you find a husband, because you might be taking him to basketball practice. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to know what you're getting into. You don't wait until you become a wife to become a wife. You prepare now.
Yes.
So while you're unmarried, use this time to get your credit right. Use this time to fix your attitude, because some of us are just straight up jacked up. I don't know how my husband married me, because my attitude was jacked. I'm just being real. I'm like, Lord, bless him, Lord, because when I look back on some of the things I put him through, honey, I would have been single all day long. No, I would not have married me. I'm just being real. Adrienne Bell would not have married me.
Well, hold on. We have a caller on the air, and your area code is 414, ending in 0421. I'm bringing you in right now. You are on the air with Tribal with, and you must know who it is because you're already snickering.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Hello,
Mother.
This is Adrian's mom. How are you?
Hi,
Mom.
Well, she almost remembered everything I thought. I was just trying to see. I was just I'm writing it all down. Maybe I have to give her another couple of other lessons. I know that I enjoyed the program very much. And I guess what I would like to say to the young ladies that are, you know, are already in a marriage situation or even, you know, trying to contemplate of whether to stay or whatever, you know, but we have to learn how to pick our battles. That's the main thing. And the other thing is learn how to hold them, learn how to fold them. You know, learn how to walk away. You know, there's some things that after you walk away, then you have to realize, then you have to release it. So I did enjoy your program, and, you know, and you're doing a wonderful job, and that's my baby there. She's doing a wonderful job. I'm really proud of her and for you, the lady that's having the program. You're doing a wonderful job, too, because I think for us, we need an outlet, and I appreciate God for you. And you keep up the good work, and I will continue to pray for you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
I feel all warm and fuzzy now, like I need, like, cookies and milk.
Mom has that effect on people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna go sit at your mom's table and have some banana pudding, and let's talk.
No, listen, let me tell you something. If you need somebody, we talk about tribal wisdom, that's mm-hmm. who you need to have on your show. You'll be like mm-hmm. going 2 hours over. My mom is just a phenomenal woman, and she said that everything I learned about wisdom, about, you know, about loyalty, I learned from my mother, and just how she was. My father passed away November 30th, 2011, and to the very last breath, she was right there. Even when he wasn't my stepdaddy, he was my daddy, and there were some days I was like, she's still with him? Honey, we can go. You know, we can go, you know. And I'm just being real. And so she taught me about loyalty and really, because I think that's the reason why I stayed with my husband as long as I had. I wanted to give up because I was a runner. I was like, oh, this ain't working. Let me pack my bags because I'm ready to go, right? So, you know, so she taught me about loyalty, and plus she told me I couldn't come back and live with her. So that really kind of helped me stay too, because my dad and my mom love my husband, and they even told him if we got a divorce, you can come to Thanksgiving dinner. She can't come. Wait, what? Who does that? But it shows the character of my husband, and they knew what he was getting at that time.
Right. And so they lay hands on him and pray for him all the time.
Honey, they went into prayer and fasting for him because they knew he was in for a treat.
Well, you know, one day we got to get your mom and my mom on the show together.
Yes.
And have a cracking up good time because, you know, I'm sure that they would just say some things. I know my mom is funny to me. I love people who are funny and they don't know they're funny. And that's my mom.
And she's not really trying to be funny. I promise you she's not.
I believe it. I totally believe it. And that's what makes everything so, you know, fantastic. Because I'm just like, did you really just say that? I can't believe. I can't believe that you just actually said that. So I would love to have your mom come on the show. Let me because she's still on hold. Let me bring her back in and ask her if she's gonna come on the show. Mom, are you there? Are you still there?
I am here.
Will you do us the honor of talking to us one day and setting the date and coming on the show?
Sure, I will be glad to do that. Yeah.
Oh God, let her check her calendar and get back with you, Cynthia.
Oh my goodness.
I will. Yes, I will have to check my calendar. But you know, one of the things, you know, I would be glad to do that. But you know, one of the things that I think that when we talk about intimacy and all of the things that are buzzing and the different words that's buzzing around, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes we wear those different words out. But intimacy lasts much longer than intercourse. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
When people
need
to call it what it is. Don't call it sex. Call it what mm-hmm. it is, because mm-hmm. sex is more than what they say. But see, sometimes the young people even have it wrong. You know, we tell young ladies, if you don't want to have no baby, then you be a lesbian. We have to address all of those things, because you have women that are marrying with and have not been delivered from some of the other things that was entered into them, and they don't even mm-hmm. know how those things got in them, and they don't realize someone deposited them into them. So we need to, those are all things that have to be addressed in marriage, because when you go into marriage, you take all those things with you. Some things you tell your husband, some things you don't, or some things you don't even want to remember. So there's a 1 hour show. It's good. The book that she wrote is wonderful.
Mm-hmm,
but there's
mm-hmm.
so many different areas that you need to address as women. We are a complex person. God made us different. You know, he went away, put all everybody else to sleep. That men were asleep when he made us, so he didn't get no suggestions. So we're complicated, but yet we're simple. You know?
Right.
So there's a lot of parts about us we don't understand. That's how come we are emotional. So everything we don't understand, we put it under that umbrella. So we have to understand there's so many things about marriage and relationships. Because see, if you don't know how to be a good friend, you really won't be able to be a good wife. Because,
oh my goodness!
There comes a time when you don't even like your husband. I love you, but I don't like you today. That's some days, you know. Then there's other days where I love you. I want to have a little sex here, you know. But
hey,
you know what?
Hey,
but
mom,
do,
knock it off.
I don't
that's
like
too
you.
Much.
You know, I'm sorry. So there's a lot.
Leave mommy alone. No, mommy, you're good. Mom, you are good. I don't know why Adrian is acting out right now, but I'm gonna figure it out later.
I don't want to hear it. I'm good. She used to say, "Well, how do you think you got here?" I don't know. Osmosis, the stork.
No,
I don't know. But.
Adrian, I do the same thing. I will admit it. My mom's not listening tonight. I will admit it all the time. But my mom and I, we always go through this thing where when I was smaller, she would act like she would deny me. She would say, "Oh, we found you. You know, somebody dropped you on in front of the the stairs and everything." But you know, as I matured and got much older, I reversed and I was like, "Mommy, could you and Daddy should tell me who my real parents are. Where are the wealthy parents that you took me from?" And she goes, "Cynthia, you're mine. You look just like your father. You need to just stop." I'm like, "No. If you could just give me a hair sample with a follicle on it, I can really figure stuff out."
That's funny.
It's hilarious.
Well, see, Adrian might try to figure out who her mom is, but she sure knows who her father is, because she looks exactly like her daddy. So.
I do.
Exactly.
I do. It's kind of scary.
Exactly. Well, I am so more than overjoyed that Adrian's mom called in and dropped a little wisdom on us about sometimes we don't even know what is in ourselves and why we respond and act the way that we do. And then you turned around and said, some of us don't even know how to be a friend, and if you don't know how to be a friend, you will not know how to be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Heavy. The lines are lit up, and I know we've got tons of listeners. I don't know what the reaction is. I hope that you guys will go on Facebook and talk about what you think about this conversation, because I love it. I'm having a great time. Okay. So we are well over the hour. And I guess, you know, it's time for us to go. But Adrienne, I know we're going to be chatting again. We're going to be chatting up again. You are listening to Adrienne Ebell. She's the founder of Wifeability and the author of The Intentional Wife. We had a great time with you on the show tonight. I can't wait for us to move further into more ventures together. And of course, you know, you're listening to Tribal Wisdom. We are a we are a company about love, beauty, weddings, and marriage fun. We love you so much. You know, we hope to see you again or hear you again next week. I just need to announce that next month is all about health awareness on Tribal Wisdom, where we're going to be talking to fitness experts, vegan and raw food experts. We have a whole lineup of wonderful, wonderful shows for you next month for health awareness. And be here for November, where we're going to be into finances. We're going to really jump into finances and marriage, finances and the unmarried woman. I want to say single, but, you know, now Adrienne has convicted me once again. And I have you on mute, but I know you're laughing. I just know you are. So do join us again here next Wedding Wednesday as we really get into health and health awareness month and talk about making you more healthy, a healthier person. We love you. We love you. We'll see you again next week.